Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. We are going to dive in and listen to Josh Greendo Deal, as I call him, give his presentation at the United Nations. This was just yesterday. That was September 17th, 2023. He was boasting about how awesome it was going to be that he could go and talk about the fires that were caused by global, how can I say it? Climate change. Beyond that, he said that the world should apologize for what happened in Lahaina. Not the governor, not the chief of police, not the fire chief who wasn't even on the island, not the emergency director who was not even on the island, not the electric company, which interestingly had turned off power prior to that fire happening, and certainly not the fact that the water was turned off and the fire department, even if it was there, couldn't use it. None of those people were to blame, but the world, meaning you are to blame for what happened in Lahaina. He gleefully said that he couldn't wait to address the United Nations. We're going to listen to that. I'm not going to interrupt. Then I'm going to play it again, and I will give you my analysis. All right. This was just yesterday. Here we go.
Our final speaker on this panel is Governor Joshua Green, a physician and a politician serving as governor of Hawaii since 2022, I think. Governor, your state has recently endured a catastrophic disaster. It's been horrifying to see what you and your people have gone through. We would like to hear from you on how subnational governments can proactively prepare for and fortify themselves against such challenges. Could you share with us what tools you have in Hawaii that are helping you do that, which put you on the path to resilience and also achieving the sustainable development goals? Please.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Friends and colleagues, first, let me say I was so pleased and honored to have our students from Hawaii welcome us today. Thank you, students and mentors. As you know, I'm a physician and a father and a husband. That's the lens I see these crises through. Since the last time I was with you just 2 months ago, Madam Chair, Hawaii did suffer the trauma of a lifetime. A devastating wildfire claimed the lives of 97, at least, of our loved ones. Displaced 12,000 of our people, destroyed centuries of history, development. It devastated the economy of that region, causing $6 billion in damage. And the fires that came, they came to us in the form of a fire hurricane. Winds were 74 miles per hour on the tail end of a hurricane and swept through our town of Lahaina in 17 minutes. The speed, the heat, it destroyed our local communication systems, our water system, and all of our above ground power infrastructure. And so I can tell you as an elected leader, I don't want to ever see this happen to us again or to any of you. So I'm here to give you a report from the front lines on the climate crisis and an urgent warning. We no longer anticipate the destructive events of climate change. We are now fully enduring them as a people and a world. Global temperatures have increased. 2023 is the hottest year in human history. Droughts across the world have become frequent and severe and prolonged. We've seen wildfires, not only in Hawaii, of course, but in Algeria and Greece, in the United States and Canada, causing air pollution from the smoke. And this summer, smoke from 900 wildfires burning through Canada triggered air quality alerts all across the eastern United States. 70 million people were affected, including my mother. Meanwhile, our Western states are grappling with the worst mega drought in 1,200 years. And for those out there who still doubt that climate change is impacting the world, note this. In the first half century, from 1953 to 2003, Hawaii experienced a total of 6 fire disasters. This August, we experienced 6 fire disasters. Ocean temperatures rise, they melt our ice caps. The marine heat waves threaten more than half of our world's marine species, which will stand on the brink of extinction. So let me say this very clearly. There's no town or city or human community on Earth that is safe from this extreme weather that's fueled by climate change, which is why we must deliver on these sustainable development goals, and you are champions to this end. Let me say this. the devastation on Maui has taught us that we have to urgently commit ourselves to a higher standard reflected in our Aloha Plus challenge and the United States SDGs. So we can take action, we can move power lines underground, we can build fire mitigation to protect our energy grids, but we have to back down on climate change. We have to use technology and human solutions as were described before me. And just let me say this, Ben Franklin said, we must all hang together or we will hang separately. That is true of climate change. We're in this battle together. We fight for the future of humanity. We struggle. We struggle to preserve our life here as we know it. And I can say this, I will do my part to bring American local governments along on this journey because of your leadership. We have faith because you have faith. Aloha and mahalo.
All right. I don't even want to hear that applauded. I let that run uninterrupted so that you could share it, listen to it again. And now we're going to analyze that. Now, in order for me to analyze it, I'm not going to be able to share my screen so I can stop quickly. So we will just listen to the audio. But I do want to set the stage for you a little bit before we dive in. And this is an excellent opportunity for critical thinking. Critical thinking is asking questions, asking for terms to be defined, asking the how, the give me an example, the prove it. That's basically what you need to do. And I understand that this was a very short speech. Did you hear the number of times he mentioned the number six? He loves his sixes. I will play this for you again. And before I do that, I want to just back up a little bit and set the stage for you. So let me share my screen one more time. And we're going to look at the person who is chairing this meeting. Her name is Shipra Narang Suri. She appears to be Indian, and she is the chief of urban practices branch in the United Nations Human Settlements Program. I just always like to know who is talking, who are these people, what is their background? So here we go. She is an urban planner with a PhD in post-war recovery studies. And when we look at her background here, working for the United Nations Habitat, United Nations Human Settlements Program. I've spoken on this program before about that moniker that I don't care for cities to be called human settlements. That's like slave settlements. I mean, here we have it again, the UN Habitat United Nations Human Settlements Program. And the tagline is resilient urban economies. It is for a better quality of life for all in an urbanizing world. The UN Habitat is the United Nations entity responsible for developing urban policies and translating them into action to create sustainable cities and human settlements. You've heard Josh Green New Deal speak about sustainability, resiliency. This is language directly from the United Nations. You may say, this is great, Peggy. I think that we should have sustainable development. There needs to be a plan for how people can live and work. That's fine. But why does it come from an authority outside of the United States government? I don't care for that. I don't care for this whole concept of a United Nations, a one world government, a new world disorder. I'm not in favor of that at all. Here we are, Climate Smart Cities Challenge. I should probably follow that account. Cities are facing unprecedented demographic, environmental, economic, and social challenges. There has been a phenomenal shift toward urbanization, with half of the world's population living in cities now. Now, before we go on anymore, here's the problem. Anything done from a top-down organization usually fails. The best ideas come from the most local entities possible. That's why for example, school districts in the United States are supposed to be in the communities, right, where the students live. So the parents, ideally, although not in California anymore, they took away that illegally imposed the fact now that parents and even the local school districts are not going to be participating in the taking care of the curriculum and so forth. The more local the government, the better. Once you start getting outside of your HOA, for example, your homeowners association, and then you've got the city. Now there's a bigger control. Then you've got the county. Then you've got the state. And then you have the federal government. The bigger it gets and the more centralized it is, the less effective impact that it has. Why should the United Nations be talking about what's going on in Hawaii? And more specifically, what's going on Maui, and more specifically, what's going on in Lahaina. Yet this Josh Green New Deal wants to implement all of the sustainable development goals of the United Nations, which include zero carbon. And don't forget, you're carbon and I'm carbon. So just to set the stage for you and why I am so opposed to this whole concept. All right, you saw the woman. She is in charge of this committee. Now we're going to listen to Josh Green New Deal again. And I want you to listen carefully to the question that this woman poses. And I'm going to give you a heads up that I am going to stop. I am going to interrupt because I'm here to give you analysis. And if you want to have the uninterrupted version, I gave that to you first. All right. I want you to listen to the question.
Level governance, we have to take into account the role of regional governance, provinces, states. Our final speaker on this panel is Governor Joshua Green, a physician and a politician serving as governor of Hawaii since 2022, I think.
He actually was sworn into office at the end of 2022, but he basically, his term took place with any impact in 2023.
Governor, your state has recently endured a catastrophic disaster. It's been horrifying to see what you and your people have gone through. We would like to hear from you on how subnational governments can proactively prepare for.
Okay. We would like to hear from you how subnational, meaning states, provinces, again, I don't even care for that language, this global language. How can you prepare? That's the question. All right, let's continue.
And fortify themselves against such challenges. Could you share with us what tools you have in Hawaii that are helping you do that?
Okay, you need to listen to the question. What tools do you have in Hawaii that are going to help you prepare for these kinds of disasters? That's the question. He doesn't even, well, let's listen to see if he answers the question. All right, I'll play that one more time.
Position and a politician serving as governor of Hawaii since 2022, I think. Governor, your state has recently endured a catastrophic disaster. It's been horrifying to see what you and your people have gone through. We would like to hear from you on how subnational governments can proactively prepare for.
How can you proactively prepare for?
And fortify themselves.
And fortify themselves.
Such challenges.
Right, and fortify themselves against such challenges.
Could you share with us what tools you have in Hawaii that are helping you do that, which put you on the path to resilience?
Can you share what tools you have in Hawaii to do that and put you on the path to resilience? Now, if I were asked that question, I would come up with solutions. I would come up with resources and remedies and ideas. Let's listen to what he has to say, shall we? Again, I'm not going to show because I need to stop and I'm unable to do so since this is not a YouTube video. It's just another website. Here we go.
And also achieving the sustainable development goals.
Yeah. And how you're achieving the sustainable development goals.
Please.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Friends and colleagues, first let me say I was so pleased and honored to have our students from Hawaii welcome us today. Thank you, students and mentors.
There is a group called the Green Growth Development Group, and that's who was there. These are a type of interns at the United Nations from Hawaii, so that's who he's referring to.
As you know, I'm a physician and a father and a husband. That's the lens I see these crises through. Since the last time I was with you just 2 months ago, Madam Chair, Hawaii did suffer the trauma of a lifetime. A devastating wildfire claimed the lives of 97, at least, of our loved ones, displaced 12,000 of our people, destroyed centuries of history, development. It devastated the economy of that region, causing $6 billion in damage.
Okay, we're going to listen for his sixes, all right? There's the first time he mentions six. He loves his sixes.
And the fires that came, they came to us in the form of a fire hurricane. Winds were sent.
Okay, there's no such thing as a fire hurricane. He made that up, or somebody made it up and gave him that to say. There's no such thing. The hurricane was hundreds of miles offshore. And there are other ways that strong winds can be generated outside of hurricanes. I have to be a little careful on this channel, but think of angels playing a beautiful stringed instrument. And if you're not sure, I'm certain that somebody in the chat will leave some information for you about this, and you can research how weather can be manipulated, including winds. So let's not fall for this fake, phony, fraudulent language of fire hurricanes and atmospheric rivers and global boiling and heat domes. These are all made up words to monger fear, in my opinion. Can I still have an opinion? Is that legal? Is that legal on YouTube or in the United States? Is it legal with the United Nations? I'm not sure.
24 miles per hour on the tail end of a hurricane and swept through our town of Lahaina in 17 minutes.
He said there were 74 mile an hour winds.
The speed, the heat, it destroyed our local communication systems, our water system, and all of our above ground power infrastructure.
All right. If he is saying that global swarming is responsible for all of this, and he ran his campaign on that as a far leftist, not only housing as healthcare, but also climate change being the biggest challenge to our lifetime. He's been governor now for 9 months, and he was governor for 8 months by the time the fires broke out. Why didn't he prepare better? Why didn't he put money in the budget and budget for all of these things that he's talking about? Why didn't he start to put the power lines underground? He's blaming the fires for destroying the power, and it probably did destroy the power lines, but that is a way of shifting the responsibility away from the fact that they did not alert the population through those emergency measures, through the sirens, through text messages. But in 2018, the governor at that time was able to have a false, phony, fraudulent warning that probably caused a lot of damage to people in terms of their anxiety. Maybe they had heart attacks or something, because they were told that there was an incoming missile and that they should take cover, and it was not a drill. And then later they said, oops, that was just a mistake. So they can mistakenly inflict this terror upon the population through a text message warning, but they couldn't send a message to those in Lahaina unless maybe purposely they didn't do so. Yet he is diverting the attention, saying that it's the fire hurricane that caused this. If he was worried about global swarming, why didn't he do anything about it previously? He doesn't have an answer for that.
And so I can tell you, as an elected leader, I don't want to ever see this happen to us again or to any of you. So I'm here to give you a report from the front lines on the climate crisis and an urgent warning. We no longer anticipate the destructive events of climate change. We are now fully enduring them as a people and a world.
So why didn't you do anything about it, Joshi? Why did you come into office as a selected representative and you didn't do anything about it? It absolutely doesn't make sense to me.
Global temperatures have increased. 2023 is the hottest year in human history.
And what proof do you have of that? Human history hasn't even been recorded for all of the years that it has existed. So how do you have proof, or anyone for that matter, that it is the hottest year in human history? I'm really sick of people just saying things without any verification or proof of their theories.
Droughts across the world have become frequent and severe and prolonged.
There is a way of manufacturing these droughts. All right. I've done videos in the past on this channel about the government's patents on how to manipulate weather. So they can stop rainfall. They can create rainfall. They can create snowfall. And I'm certain with the fracking that they do underground, that they can create something that would resemble an earthquake, but not really be an earthquake, and winds and rain and everything else that you can imagine.
We've seen wildfires, not only in Hawaii, of course, but in Algeria and Greece, in the United States and Canada.
And interestingly, that all of those wildfires have something in common. They are burning at a temperature that is not consistent with the physics of fire. Outdoor fires, or residential fires, if you will, that are, you know, burning a structure, burn at about 1400 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, when you start doing some searching online, they're going to show you the degrees in Celsius. And you're going to say, well, Peggy, it's saying that it burns at 1500 degrees. Yeah, that's Celsius. Because metal, excuse me, when you research the temperature at which metal burns, or melts, I should say, because it doesn't burn, it's not combustible, it can't ignite, that is at about 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. And it has to be exposed to that heat for a long period of time. That's why there's such a thing called a steel mill. And nobody is outside, you know, working on steel outside because it can't get hot enough to do so. It's under very specific conditions that different alloys and steel, you know, combination of material is made. And so no, an outdoor wildfire does not have the physics to melt steel, all the while where there are plastic containers nearby that are unmelted. You've got wooden fences that are still standing, but where the steel nails were, where the metal nails were, that's where it was burned. So that is consistent with the kind of fire that you find in a microwave oven, for example. So that's something that all of these fires have in common. On a separate video, I'm going to talk about the issue of arsons and how conveniently that can be blamed. But the fact is, the fire itself is defying the physics of an outdoor fire. He neglected to mention that. Let's continue.
Causing air pollution from the smoke. And this summer, smoke from 900 wildfires burning through Canada triggered air quality alerts all across the eastern United States. 70 million people were affected.
Now, if I wanted to look at that nine, I could say that that is an upside down six. But he's still going to talk about his sixes. Just hang on.
My mother. Meanwhile, our Western states are grappling with the worst mega drought in 1,200 years.
And excuse me, how do you know it's the worst mega drought in 1,200 years? They were measuring droughts 1,200 years ago? That's news to me. I'd like to see that evidence, please.
Out there who still doubt that climate change is impacting the world, note this. In the first half century, from 1953 to 2003, Hawaii experienced a total of six fire disasters.
There's your second six.
This August, we experienced six fire disasters.
All right. You may say that that's just a coincidence that he's mentioned the number six three times. You're right. It could be a coincidence. And it also could be by design because he loves to mention the number six three times. If you don't know, 666 is the mark of the beast. It is the symbol for, evil and Satan. And he sure loves to mention that 666. I'll do a video all about that as well.
Ocean temperatures rise. They melt our ice caps. The marine heat.
Can I have evidence that the ice caps are melting? Besides, how does that work? If you've got the ice cap, it's already displacing water. So even if it melts, it's not going to have any impact on the level of the sea.
Waves threaten more than half of our world's marine species, which will stand on the brink of extinction.
Okay. Time out, everybody. One thing I've noticed is he's not talking about carbon dioxide. And I think that's because people like me and you have been exposing the baffling, flabbergasting hypocrisy of saying that carbon dioxide is a pollutant. Those very oceans that he's talking about would die except for carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is the oxygen for plants, which then take in our carbon dioxide, thus cleaning the air, and they increase their yield and they increase their giving off of oxygen. And all of the planet and all of what's going on in the ocean thrives on that. So I've noticed that they no longer, there might be some that are a little behind the eight ball here, but not as often are they talking about carbon dioxide. Now it's just climate change is the boogeyman. You see, they love to have these boogeymans that they can point at and then rally people around and divide the population into who believes in it and who doesn't. I want evidence and I want proof.
So let me say this very clearly. There's no town or city or human community on Earth that is safe from this extreme weather that's fueled by climate change, which is why we must deliver on these sustainable development goals. And
all right. I found that very threatening, that there is no city or, what did you call it? Human community. Isn't that what a city is? I really detest this language that they're using. So he says, everyone is basically susceptible to this. All right. I find that, I would put that in the category of terrorism. He is mongering fear. He's a fear mongerer. There is no evidence for that. And other than maybe he's doing some predictive programming to tell people and to warn them to live in fear that it could happen to you as well. And that the only way to change that is to push forward on the sustainable development goals of the United Nations. I'll do a separate video on those. I've mentioned them several times. This number 11 has to do with human settlements. And that's why all he is rubbing his hands in glee that he will have the opportunity to build back better Lahaina. Isn't that just like a coincidence that he's all in favor of this, like starting from scratch and having everything be sustainable and resilient? And now he's given a clean slate. It's just a coincidence, friends. Don't read anything else into that at all.
And you are champions to this end. Let me say this. The devastation on Maui has taught us that we have to urgently commit ourselves to a higher standard reflected.
A higher standard. Okay, that's all right. I misspeak sometimes too.
In our Aloha Plus Challenge in the United States SDGs.
Okay, the Aloha Plus Challenge, I've covered on this channel before. He's got a dashboard where he measures all of these sustainable development goals. Think about the amount of manpower and money that is diverted to serving the United Nations, which has zero authority over you and me, and has zero authority over Hawaii, Maui, or Lahaina. So I take issue with this intentional blurring of the lines, whereby this somehow global New World Disorder government called the United Nations, hand in hand with the World Economic Forum, that's why I call them WEFers, that somehow they are calling the shots, so to speak. All right, we're almost done listening to this.
So we can take action. We can move power lines underground. We can build fire mitigation to protect our energy grids. But we have to back down on climate change.
We have to back down on climate change. That's one thing I can agree with.
We have to use technology and human solutions as were described before me.
Meaning we have to back down on pointing the finger at climate change. That's how I interpreted it.
Just let me say this. Ben Franklin said, we must all hang together or we will hang separately. That is true of climate change. We're in this battle together. We fight for the future of humanity. We struggle. We struggle to preserve our life here as we know it. And I can say this.
Okay, I'm sorry, friends. Fear mongering, doomsday. No, we don't all hang together, Joshy. I don't hang with you at all, okay? And there's no such thing that we are all in it together. We all have our own unique, individual, personal experiences. Some people, apparently not you, are suffering greatly. So no, you're not all in it together. Stop with that despicable phrase. Each individual suffers on their own. We may stand shoulder to shoulder and be there to support one another, but this we are all in it together is another one of those United Nations WF or phrases that I can't stand.
I will do my part to bring American local governments along on this journey because of your leadership. We have faith because you have faith. Aloha.
We have faith because you have faith. And I'm going to bring along the United States and other states on this United Nations journey. He wants to be like the sustainable development guru for the United States. I, for one, am never going to stop exposing all of these evil deeds. Now, the biggest thing of all for me, absolutely what troubles me, is the, well, number one, he never answered the question. She asked, what are the tools that you've done? What are you doing to stand up against this? And all he did was his naysayer speech of how horrible everything was. He never talked about what it is he is doing. So he completely got an F on that assignment. The other thing that truly troubles me is that he is using this as an example of, you know how it goes. It's called the Hegelian dialectic or dialect. And I would love to, dialectic, I would love to share that with you in a deep dive as well, where there is a problem put forth, usually created, and then the solution that is given is the one that the bad guys, the evildoers, the WEFers want to put into place. When people are traumatized, as they are in Hawaii and around the world, in all of these places where people have suffered these tragedies, fear makes people so much more susceptible to shutting off their rational mind, their thinking mind. They are living in fear. It is an emotional response. They are more vulnerable to do whatever it takes so that they don't go through that again. That is part of their evil approach. So can't wait to read your comments, friends. I am opposed to the United Nations instituting these sustainable development goals. I am opposed to the cities and the states instituting these outside of the regular legislative process and the input from we the people. It should be from the ground up. If those the population in Lahaina wants to have that kind of society, they should be the ones electing the leaders who are going to, I don't like to use the word leaders, the representatives who are going to do that, but it should not come from the United Nations. So I will continue to bring you the updates on what's going on. I will talk to you about the latest cooties cocktail that they want to do. And I'm sure you believe it, that Green New Deal is all in favor and is also encouraging people to do that. What say you? Thanks for being on board, everybody. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you in an upcoming broadcast.